2 weeks from today, this Sunday, I want to preach a message about the church to the church. So in 2 Sundays from now, I want to speak on a corporate level about the church. Next Sunday, which is Easter Sunday, I'm not going to preach a traditional Easter message. I want to take that opportunity to talk to you about my convictions concerning the Christian walk. And that's, in my mind, 2 weeks from today, we're going to talk about the church. Next Sunday, I want to talk about, on an individual level, from my own journey and what God has taught me and what I've learned through the years, what is it that I would say to you about what it looks like to walk with Christ? So that's kind of an individual sermon pointed to the individual. This week, we conclude our series in the book of Acts. So for the last 15 weeks, we've talked about the declaration of Jesus in which he said, I will build my church. We've looked to the book of Acts, and we've gone through, I guess there's about 14 of those things that we've said. These are aspects of ways in which Jesus, through his Spirit, began to build the church. The implication of that is he begins that. We read that in the inspired record from the book of Acts. But those very things continue to this day. The way Jesus was building his church 2,000 years ago is the same way the Holy Spirit builds the church today. There's one thing left. And somewhat it's intentional on my part to save this for the end. But quite honestly, it comes as we have worked our way through the book of Acts, looking at when those themes emerge. In some sense, this theme emerges at the end. And I want to talk to you today about missions. And you know, if you've been with me for more than 2 weeks or 23 years, that it is one of the passions of my life. And I want us to see this morning from the book of Acts that the last thing, at least in the series of sermons, that the Holy Spirit does to build the church is that the Holy Spirit sends Jesus' followers to the ends of the earth. The Holy Spirit sends the followers of Jesus to the ends of the earth. The church is not built until it is taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. Let me say it again. The church is not built until it is taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. Jesus states this in his own words in the book of Acts, in Acts 1, before the Holy Spirit is coming, in chapter 2. Jesus says, I've quoted this so many times, Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Those are the words of Jesus. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit that comes upon the early church in Acts chapter 2, is the Spirit of Jesus. So whatever Jesus has said, whatever Jesus declares, whatever Jesus' will is, that is the will of the Spirit. And so the words of Jesus tell us how the Spirit will live out, because he says, when you will receive power of the Holy Spirit, what will you do? You will be witnesses to me. And then Jesus' words give us the scope of that. What is the scope? Jesus said, start where you are. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem. That's where they were. Okay? They were in Jerusalem. All Judea and Samaria, which were the regions around Jerusalem. And then instead of starting to affix countries to that list, he says, to the end of the earth. The scope of Jesus' work is the ends of the earth. When the Holy Spirit comes upon the church, not only is the Holy Spirit going to send them out, but the Holy Spirit is going to send them out to the ends of the earth. The church is not fully built until the church is taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. So in the book of Acts, Jesus declares it. Acts 2, the Spirit comes and begins to build the church in those 13 or 14 ways that we've already talked about. Acts 1 through 7, do you know where the church is? Acts 1 through 7, the church is in Jerusalem. Okay. Jesus said it. Surely the Spirit is moving, but the church is not moving. No, we right here. We found our lane, our groove. This is where we're at. We're in Jerusalem. I don't know how God works, but God just says, okay, all right, that's fine. You don't want to move? That's all right. We'll make you move. It's kind of interesting to me that I'm just kind of a numbers guy. So you have Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem. This is my speed reciting of that verse. You shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You flip that reference to Acts 8:1, and it says, now in those days there arose a great persecution. And God scatters the church from Jerusalem. And it says in those verses, notice that they are scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. All right, you don't want to go? Well, we'll just add a little fire to the kitchen. So you get out of the kitchen. And so Acts 8:1, they go. They start to go to the regions around them. The gospel progresses, and the gospel comes to a place called Antioch in Syria, which is north of there. I think we decided 300 miles from Jerusalem. In Acts 11, the gospel comes to Antioch, a city of about 300,000 people. And the center of the mission becomes the Church of Antioch. And I want you to see what God does in Acts 13. Acts 13, verse 1, 2, and 3. It says, now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. Barnabas. We've already been introduced to Barnabas. Barnabas is a Jewish Christian from the island of Cyprus. He's not from Jerusalem. He's from Cyprus, out in the Mediterranean. Then it says Simeon, who was called Niger, which is the Latin word for black. Simeon is an African man. Okay, Barnabas. Cyprus, Simeon, Africa. Lucius from Cyrene, which is also North Africa. He's not from Jerusalem. Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. Don't know where he's from, but he has rubbed elbows with the political elites of his day. And then Saul, who's a Jewish Christian from Tarsus. The point of me reading that list is their leadership reflected their church. Their church was a diversely international congregation. They were not like the first believers. They were diverse and they were international. This was a different looking church than the church at Jerusalem. And so notice what God does in that setting. It says in verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. Notice this statement. The Holy Spirit said. The Holy Spirit is a person. People speak. The Holy Spirit speaks. Now separate to me. This is what the Holy Spirit said. Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul. They were two of the five prophets and teachers in the church of Antioch. Two of their five in leadership. Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. I want you to notice that last phrase. The Holy Spirit says of himself, I have called them. I want you to see there's a turning point in the history of the church in Acts 13:2, in which the Holy Spirit has not only called Barnabas and Saul to become missionaries, but the Holy Spirit sends them. What is the Holy Spirit doing in the midst of the church to build the church? The last thing is that the Holy Spirit is sending out Jesus followers to the ends of the earth. Holy Spirit doesn't call out all of them. Nope. But two of them he did. And notice it says in verse 3, then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. And so in Acts 13, the first missionaries are sent out to take the gospel to people who have never heard and have no opportunity to hear, as far as we know, until somebody goes. So what is the Holy Spirit doing? The Holy Spirit is calling individuals and is sending, but also a significant component of that is that Barnabas and Saul, represented the Church of Antioch. The Church of Antioch was the sending church. They were there to pray, support, to be the home base for the missionaries who were sent. Not everybody goes. But I would contend this morning that the Holy Spirit will always call. The church as a collective group to send people out to the ends of the earth so that those who have never heard will hear the gospel, who have, as far as we know, no other opportunity to ever hear. I want you to understand that the Holy Spirit calls us out of our comfort and our safety. I may come back and revisit this next Sunday. The default of the flesh will be comfort and safety. If you leave Daryl Smith to Daryl Smith, my default setting is comfort, safety. But the church cannot send the gospel into all the world unless some are called out of their comfort and safety. And so the first missionaries are sent. I have one other few verses I want to share, and then I have something at the end I want to save time for. Acts 16, verses 6 through 10, and I'll cover this quickly. This is the Macedonian call. I have something at the end I want to share with you. Acts 16, 10. Let me set this up. Acts 13, Barnabas and Saul go out, and the first missionary journey, they go to Cyprus and modern-day Turkey. That's Acts 13 and 14. They come back. They report to the church. We talked about conflict from Acts 15 last Sunday. At the end of 15, they go back out. And so in chapter 16, they go back out to cover the areas where they're covering. They have already covered in their first missionary journey. And their intention is to go further. So they've retraced their steps. And in their minds, they're going to go beyond that. But notice in the scripture, starting in verse 6 of Acts 16, that the Holy Spirit not only calls and sends, but the Holy Spirit directs the missionaries where? To the ends of the earth. So it says in verse 6, "Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia," that's first missionary journey, here it is, "they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia." I know y'all don't know the geography of this. I don't know if your study Bible has a map in the back. I don't know. Daryl Smith, well, I see things. I also hear things. But anyhow, I see things. I can see maps in my mind. They've retraced their steps. They apparently have the intention of going to Asia, which is Ephesus. So in the map, in your mind, you can't see it. I'm sorry. Should have had a map. They're traveling northwest, and their intention was to go west to Ephesus. The Holy Spirit says no. Ooh, wow. We were just trying to do something for God there. Verse 7, "After they had come to Mysia," so they just keep moving forward. They want to, in essence, if they're traveling down the road, they said, "I think we're going to go left," and the Holy Spirit says no. So what do? They just keep walking forward. Geographically, then they try to take a right in verse 7, because it says, "After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia," which is north, "but the Spirit did not permit them." I was going to say this about Ephesus. The Holy Spirit said no because the time was not right. They would come back to Ephesus. But sometimes the Holy Spirit says, "Not at this time." The interesting thing, they try to go into Bithynia, which is north. We know from 1 Peter 1:1, when Peter writes about this, that that is his field of ministry. So sometimes when you're trying to serve God, the Holy Spirit says no because it's not the time. Sometimes the Holy Spirit says no because that's someone else's field. That's not yours. That's not what I need you to do. So what do? They keep moving forward. They try to go left? No. They try to go right? No. They just keep moving forward. Verse 8, "So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas." That's at the sea, the Aegean Sea. They come to water. When you're walking on a journey and you come to a large body of water, stop. Sorry, that's just Daryl Smith. I'm sorry. Verse 9. I mean, it's like, well, okay, God, we've come as far as we can go. What? "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, 'Come over to Macedonia,'" which is across the Aegean Sea in northern Greece, "and help us." Verse 10, "Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them." What the Holy Spirit was doing, the Holy Spirit was not only directing, but the Holy Spirit was stretching them. Because in their minds they had a certain, like, well, you know, if we could cover this area, that would be God. And the Holy Spirit's saying, no, you're not getting the scope of the mission. The Holy Spirit not only directs us, but when the Holy Spirit directs us, He will stretch us. He will broaden our circle, because Jesus' intention is that the gospel would go to the ends of the earth. And the Holy Spirit that was working then works today and sends the followers of Jesus to the ends of the earth. Mark my words on two things. First, when the church is filled with the Holy Spirit will lead the church to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. Mark my words. Secondly, if the church stays inside its four walls, mark my words, if the church does not take the gospel to the ends of the earth, or if they define the boundaries of where they will take the gospel, if the church stays within the four walls of the church, mark my words, that church will die. Because the Holy Spirit cannot flow through a people who set limits on God. The church to be built must take the gospel to the ends of the earth. I told you I wanted to share something at the end, and I want to share a video to close. I want to say this about our church, that we are responsible for our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and we are responsible for the ends of the earth. There's a number of things that we do in our Jerusalem. Maybe most predominant in our church, our local food ministry, and our Most Excellent Way program. But we have children's programs, we have youth programs. We're sharing the gospel in our Jerusalem. We're responsible, and we give money, and we send other people the ultimate expression to the ends of the earth. Is that we have adopted a people group in Guinea, West Africa, and we go and we're responsible. And we have been there 11 years, and God will finish what He has begun. But I want you to see this morning that I have a testimony, and I asked Kevin Murphy to video this. He goes to Africa and does medical missions, and I asked him, and he did it, and he didn't say anything to embarrass the family, so we're going to show it. But I wanted you to see Kevin's testimony, because there's more than just what we do among our people group in West Africa, and God may lead you somewhere. But if you'll listen to this, and then I have a few things I want to say to close.
I'm Kevin Murphy. I'm a physician assistant. I've been doing that for about 23 years now. I work at a community health clinic in Lufkin. So kind of had various jobs before that, but that's kind of what I do now. About 15 years ago, I was in my office one day, and you kind of go through the humdrum of daily life, just going through the routine. And, you know, just felt like there was more I needed to be doing. You know, I was providing for my family, doing my work, and just something in me was prompting me to do more. And I prayed about it deeply and said, God, you know, just tell me what more you want me to do. And not 2 hours later, I got a call from a nurse that I didn't even know in Lufkin, who said, hey, Kevin Murphy, do you want to go to Africa with us? I had prayed about it, and that was my answer 2 hours later the same day, so I couldn't say no. I started out in Niger, so we went there 3 years, then went to Ethiopia for 1 year, and this is my fourth trip to Sierra Leone. In January, went to Sierra Leone, and we worked there as, you know, medical, so we provide care to villagers. And so pretty much we see the villagers and treat their illnesses. This time we spent 4 days in the village and saw 1,200 patients. And so you see everything from malaria to sickle cell to bone infections, parasitic infections, just famine, lots of illnesses. So we treat them as patients, but while they're waiting, we saw 300 per day. They were a captive audience for somebody to read scripture to, share the Bible story to. Before they saw us, they waited in line, got that message. We treated them, then they showed the Bible story that night in the village. Well, you know, you get to know the people and they see your heart and see you're there to care for them. And, you know, they tell us that people don't come out of their comfort zones or come from America to treat people often. So they see what you're doing for them, and the medicines that we give a lot of times work because they don't take medicine over there. And so it's real effective, and they see that we're loving them and caring for them. And, you know, mold that into why we're there and why we're sent there and tell the story. You know, and then it kind of evolves, and then you have conversions that you hear about after you've left. When somebody asks you, because I've had it happen to me, they say, oh, I need to go. But then they have what I call analysis paralysis. So you analyze something so much to where you don't commit, you're afraid to go, you talk yourself out of it. So if you get approached with this, you get the opportunity, just say yes. And that's what the whole trip is while you're there. Just say yes. And you know, if you're a servant doing that, you're going to go places and do well. But I would just say, don't say no.
Amen. If you would stand with me this morning. We have one other video, and it's a video we've done about Mike and Tasha Werner. We're going to send that out by email this afternoon. It kind of has information that we're not supposed to post on social media, and pictures, I think, specifically is what we're thinking of, that we want to be smart there. And so we're going to email that video testimony out this afternoon, and so you can be looking forward to that. Jesus said, I will build my church. He will build it through the Holy Spirit. We've talked about 14 or 15 things, ways in which the Holy Spirit builds the church. That brings God glory. But for God to receive glory, we have to listen to and respond to the Holy Spirit. In fact, we know if we don't listen and respond to the Holy Spirit, that God will not build the church. Because anything we do apart from the Holy Spirit is just the work of man. It will fail. But whatever you know that the Holy Spirit is doing in your life, respond to. And Jesus will build not only his church, Jesus will build this church. Amen? Father, today, that's our prayer. Father, we know that your Spirit is at work. We pray that you would take our stubborn ears and our disobedient hearts, and you'd give us courage to respond and to live listening to and responding to the Holy Spirit. And Father, I pray that you would build your church, you would build this church, and that it would bring you glory. Many people would come to faith. And Father, I pray that you'd raise up leaders. Father, you'd send us out in boldness to testify to Jesus. I pray that you'd draw the lost. Father, I pray that, Father, you'd teach us from your word. that you'd bond us together in the spirit of generosity of life and a care for one another. I pray that you'd make us dependent upon prayer. You'd give us a steadfast spirit in the midst of persecution. Father, I pray that you'd navigate the church through conflict, as it will surely come. And Father, I pray that you would send out from this church people to the ends of the earth, and that this church would be a home base for those who are sent. And Father, we pray all this for your glory and for your honor. In the name of Jesus, amen.